The London Mozart Players performing Franz Xaver Richter's Symphony No. 56 in D minor, the final allegro, and you're with the new Classical FM. My name is Mark Wigmore. Let's get to our daily look at arts and culture. You know that. That's the cornerstone of a young piano player's early music education. And today we're asking the question, how do kids keep up with lessons and music learning with a pandemic stopping so many public gatherings and one-on-one interactions? We all know music education has been threatened already in public school curriculums, of course, and now music education, so important to young people, is facing new challenges. The Toronto Music Alliance believes music should be for everyone, and joining me on the phone is the founder of the Toronto Music Alliance, David Stone. Welcome.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm very good. Great to be with you and at a distance here. Tell us what the Toronto Music Alliance has decided to do this fall going forward with music lessons.
Well, the decision was kind of made for us back in mid-March when the pandemic first hit. We've always been doing music lessons in person, which most people have. But unfortunately, with COVID-19 and a lot of the transmission happening through activities that would happen in the music lesson, we had to switch to online-only services. We use different places like Skype and Zoom or whatever the student happens to have, and just simply adapt the model to work with whatever our students need. And that's how we're continuing in the fall, because unfortunately, if you've been reading the news today, it looks like the numbers aren't going in the right direction, unfortunately.
So
we're trying to help everybody that we can.
And expected. I mean, we kind of knew this might be happening. But let's rewind a little bit and start with the basics. Why is music education so important for young people? What's your belief there, or even the facts?
Oh, well, the facts and the beliefs kind of commingle. I mean, music education is foundational since time immemorial. I mean, even the ancient Greeks had music as one of their core subjects taught in school. Music lights up everybody's brain on an MRI like a Christmas tree. It hits every part of you. It hits your emotional, communication, physical, linguistic, and artistic parts. It's so holistic and important to everybody's education, young or old. And I've been doing music since I was 3. I was one of those kids where I kind of landed on it early.
Right.
And it was such a core part of my upbringing, and I know what great joy it gave me. And one of the things that's been so important to me when I was founding the school is to try to bring that joy to as many other people as we can. And that's just a main reason why. I mean, yes, of course you play beautiful music. Yes, of course you gain self-confidence and self-esteem. But it really touches on the core of who and what you are.
It's interesting, too, because I think, yes, there is that lesson that happens. Yes, there's the practicing that continues on once that lesson is over. But also, like you talk about, so much is happening in your brain that it does affect all sorts of other facets of your life as well.
Oh, absolutely. When you're learning a piece, you learn how to organize things, you learn how to communicate things, you learn how to edit things, you learn things like discipline, you learn time management, which is something a lot of us need help with. And it's just the list of skills you gain is huge. It's huge, and it's one of the most amazing reasons why music is just continued to be an incredible part during this pandemic, and hopefully going forward in the future too.
Now, it is unfortunate that the one-on-one can't happen, but at the same time, you've been doing this type of online teaching for quite a while, 13 years. So you're yeah. very, very familiar that this technology is still actually a really good option.
Oh, it is. I've taught students. One of my earliest examples was back in 2007. I had a student who was going through the Berklee College of Music down in Boston doing the film studies program, and I was tutoring her throughout the entire thing. So we've done really high-end, education and difficult things to work with, and that was using the internet technology that we had 13, 14 years ago. It's so much easier now.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of musicians right here around the radio station, and they would put together seminars and like you've worked on master classes and so on. This has just been part of life. So for a lot of people, it will be familiar. I'm with the founder of the Toronto Music Alliance, David Stone, here on the new Classical FM. We're talking about the shift to music lessons online during this pandemic. You made the pivot to online classes early once the lockdown was in place. I suppose it was something of an opportunity for parents actually looking to find new schedules for their kids, something to actually do.
For sure. I have 2 kids of my own, by the way. They're 8 and 10. So I'm in the same boat as a lot of those parents. But what was very amazing is with the kids at home, we started teaching much earlier during the day. So for people who could only work from 4 to 8, all of a sudden it was between 1 and 5. This online model, I mean, there are people who obviously want to do the in-person lessons. I want to do the in-person lessons too, but I honestly foresee a bit of a hybrid model happening here where, you know, if you want to come to the lesson, you can. If you want to do online, you can do that too. But, for example, we live in Canada. We get snowstorms all the time. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great if you didn't feel safe driving on the roads to be able to do your lesson online? Or, you know, if you've got a little sniffle and you're not sure if you want to come in or not, at the very least, it means you don't have to have the interruption to your education. Same thing with the teacher. If they're a little bit under the weather, we're human too. It means we don't have to worry about infecting anybody else either.
We read all the time about the great changes that are going to be happening once this pandemic is matured and once, maybe even when it's over. But that's a pretty good concrete example of we will actually now be set up for that type of learning. What do we need to take part in online lessons this fall? What are you suggesting to students and parents from a physical and technical standpoint that they need to take part in these types of lessons?
Well, the first thing they need to have is patience, because this is all a bit of a learning curve for everybody. I'm still learning new techniques and different ways of classroom management and dealing with it every day. But to actually answer your question, people need to have some sort of internet-enabled device with a decent camera on it, and your teacher is going to help, you know, position where it needs to be to make sure that we can see. If you're doing piano, we want to be able to see your hands. If you're singing, we want to be able to see your upper body. If you're playing a string instrument, you know, both your hands for your bow and your fingering. And one of the most underrated pieces of equipment that we really recommend people have is a decent quality USB microphone, just not what's included on your device. You don't have to spend a fortune, and frankly, some of the upper-end models are around, I don't know, a couple of $100. They make them available for iPads. They make them for computers. It really makes a huge difference because we're transmitting music over the internet, which means we're not hearing all the same, you know, richness of tone and texture that you would have in an in-person lesson. But a really good quality mic helps up that quality for the student to be able to hear back if they record themselves, or for the teacher to hear over the internet. I use a really decent quality mic as well. It really helps my students hear what I'm playing. We cannot undersell the importance of that.
That's a big one. And if we've watched any news coverage over the last 6 months, we know the people who have a good microphone and the ones who don't, as they're Zoomed or whatnot into their interviews and so on. You always hear the difference. David Stone, founder of the Toronto Music Alliance. This is just great info. Classes, of course, happening this fall. TorontoMusicAlliance.com. And that is where you can have a look at the options, set up your lessons, and learn so much more. David, thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure, Mark. Thank you for having me.
That is our look at the arts here on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's get to some choral music here. Dvorak.